Many of the great theologians, the great saints all down through the ages have spoken of, have seen the mustard seed as an image of faith, as symbolic of faith. That when faith is first infused into our hearts, it might be the tiniest little flicker, the smallest flame, but that can grow without limit. That as faith expands in our heart, there is no degree to which it might not reach. And what happens as a little seed becomes a large plant, the branches spread themselves out. As our faith grows, we begin to touch the lives and hearts of all those around us. Almost anyone who comes to faith in the modern world comes to faith because they are touched by someone they know, another person of faith. In the letter to the Hebrews, it says something striking. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, if we know that God desires the salvation of all, what does that mean? But that He wants every single person on the face of the earth to come to faith. And inversely, if we read that positively, the more we grow in faith, the more pleasing to God we become. Okay, so if He wants everyone to come to the faith, what is the secret? How do we obtain faith? St. Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians, faith is a gift from God, and therefore something to be asked of Him. Lord, grant me the gift of faith. Now, undoubtedly, every single person in this church today would not be here if you did not already have faith. But since faith knows no limit to its growth, we can be like the man in the gospel who says, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Bring me to the perfection of faith. Just recently, a parishioner, who actually is here today, shared with me the story of a very good friend of hers who lives in Ireland. When this man was 26 years old in the year 1982, fighting in Northern Ireland, he was captured and imprisoned by the British Army, thrown into prison in Belfast. He says he was so extremely bitter, so full of hatred at that time in his life, not believing in God, and he had left his early faith in the Catholic Church. And he was angry with the Catholic Church because he saw the Church as being pro-British. And so as he's in prison, the more and more this hatred in his heart grows, and he starts to have suicidal thoughts. And the longer he's there, the more intense they become, till finally he comes to the point he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to end my life. What is the point of living when life is so miserable? And that night he comes back to his cell. That day he comes back to his cell. And the door is open. He walks in. And to his surprise, there in the center of his cell on the floor is a tiny little cutout from a newspaper of an image of Padre Pio with his hands uplifted, showing the stigmata, the wounds from our Lord's Passion, the nail marks. And it's so strange, even to the present day, he says, I have no idea how that piece of paper got there, because I no longer believed, and neither did my cellmate. And he picks up this piece of paper, and this is where he was at this time in his life. He had heard of Padre Pio, because he'd grown up Catholic. And he picks up this piece of paper and says, he scoffs. Psh, that silly old fool, he probably did that with a screwdriver. And as the day goes on, he begins to think, you know, if he did that with a screwdriver, he probably would have gotten blood poisoning at some point over the course of 50 years. Or someone would have discovered that he was self-inflicting these wounds. That night, in desperation, before he fell asleep, he said the first prayer he had said in years, and the prayer that he thought might be the last prayer of his life. He said, Padre Pio, go to God and ask Him to prove to me that He really exists in the space of one Hail Mary. If He does not, I will know for certain that He does not exist, and I will go ahead and kill myself. And so he begins the Hail Mary. "Hail Mary." And when he said the name Mary, Our Lady appeared. And he got out of his bed and he fell on his knees and he began to weep because he had never seen such beauty, such majesty, such purity. And Our Lady looked at him and she said, "My son, you now believe." And he nodded his head and he says, "Yes, I believe." And she said, "Now, my son, that's not enough, though. Because faith without love is vain." She said, "But my son, if you are going to love again, you have to forgive." And all of a sudden, he said, these scenes played before him one by one, all the way dating back to his early childhood, of every single person in his life whom he had felt hatred for. Every single person he had ever resented. And as each scene flashed, Our Lady would ask him, "Do you forgive?" And he would say, "Yes, I forgive." Over and over, until finally the scenes ended. And she looked at him and she said, "Now, my son, is there anyone else in your heart for whom you still harbor hatred?" And he analyzed his heart. He said, "Mother, no, there's no one." And for the first time in years, he felt freedom interiorly. And she said, "My son, now there's one last essential piece. You've been given faith. You've been granted the gift of love. Now you must pray. Because without prayer, you will lose both." And she handed him a rosary and said, "Pray the rosary." And he embarrassedly looked at her and said, "Mother, I don't remember how." And she said, "Then I will remind you." And Our Lady led him in the rosary. 30 years have passed, and that tiny little seed of faith that was implanted in his heart has become a large plant, touching thousands of other souls. My brothers and sisters, there's something we must know about faith, though, and that is that after God gives us the gift of faith, he calls us to do what St. Paul says in the second reading today, and that is to walk by faith and not by sight. There will always be the tendency in our hearts to want to walk by sight and not by faith. I mean, how many times do we say, "Lord, you know, gosh, if I could just see, if you could just show me what to do with certitude in this situation, I would do it, Lord. I, you know, I want to follow you." I remember when I received my vocation to the priesthood, I was at the University of Notre Dame, my freshman year of college. And I was really wondering, you know, gosh, where do I go? Do I become a diocesan priest? Do I become a religious? And another student came up to me one day who had heard I was thinking about the priesthood. And I was sitting in the lunchroom. She walks up and she says, "You know, have you decided, are you really going to enter the seminary?" And I said, "You know, I'm not sure. I'm maybe 85% sure. But, you know, I got to wait till I'm 100% confident that this is what God wants." And this other student looked at me and said, "If you have 100% certitude, then what kind of faith would that take?" How often God does not give us 100% certitude because he calls us to trust in him. And I want to end with a little story of the second confession that I ever heard. Yeah, I remember right before being ordained to the priesthood, I was so excited to start hearing confessions. And not because I really wanted to hear everybody's sins, but to grant mercy, right, to be an instrument of God's mercy. I remember the first confession I ever heard, it was here in Sacramento. The second confession was back in Europe, in Rome, in Italy. And so someone that nobody could possibly know, I have no idea who the girl is or was, but a young lady in her 20s. She makes this confession, an incredibly beautiful confession. She had this deep self-knowledge. You could tell that she was really trying to get to the root of her sin. She wanted to be totally free. When her confession was over, she said to me, she said, "Father, you know, I pray often that God will allow my faith to remain pure." And I said, what do you mean by that? That you want your faith to remain pure? And she said, "You know, I read in the lives of the saints, so many of them heard God's voice, whether interiorly or exteriorly, or so many of them saw apparitions, or they were granted the gift of miracles. She says, Father, I've asked God not to allow any of those things in my life. I don't want to believe in Him because of what He allows in my life, but simply for who He is. I want to trust in Him solely because He is worthy of all trust. St. Anselm one time said, we oftentimes think that if we could just understand, then we would believe. But he said the opposite is actually true. If we would first believe, then God would give us the grace to understand. And I close with these words of Blessed Mother Teresa. She said, if we pray, we will believe. And if we believe, we will love. And if we love, we will serve. Let us ask our Lord as we receive Him today to increase our faith.